Pleasant good morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, we'll be reading there in just a moment. I'm thankful for your presence. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. And I hope that the lesson will be of profit for you this morning. What is your earliest memory? I have a very strong memory of being a child, I think around year three. My family took a driving vacation up the East Coast. My dad had a solid black four-door Pontiac that was about a mile long with hot red vinyl seats and interior. I liked it because it looked like the Batmobile as a child. I remember the car. I remember standing in the front seat with my arms stretched across the bench with a hand on each of my parents as we look out and our parents are saying, "There's the Statue of Liberty." Long-held memories are often associated with unusual events, things out of the ordinary for us. Pain, loss, joy, a birth, a marriage, a golden anniversary, a graduation, a retirement. We remember those kinds of things. God created us with memory, and we make memories for our children. My parents made that memory for me by going up the coast and pointing that out. Talking about it. But I also have memories of Bible studies in the home and the example of parents to their children in that they were serving God first, and the examples of bringing children habitually to Bible studies and worship assemblies and gospel meetings and congregational singings and the public reading of Scripture. I have all those memories from my youth that my parents created for me. We have the ability to commit things to memory and to choose to remember things, and we also have the ability to choose to forget or forget due to lack of use. I want you to consider with me for a few moments what God's said about our memory and how He wants us to use our memory. God has given several memorials for remembrance. In Genesis chapter 9, we're more familiar with this text. Genesis 9 tells us that God gave the rainbow for His remembrance. In Genesis 9 and 14, it says, "It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh." The rainbow was for God's remembrance of the covenant. And it's for us. When we see it, we also remember God's covenant and the promises that He has made related to the rainbow. God gave several things for remembrance for the nation of Israel. Look at this text with me in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in six days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now Scripture says a lot more about the Sabbath day, but we understand enough from this text that the Sabbath day and the laws associated with it were to remind the people how God rested on the seventh day of creation. God made the Sabbath day holy in doing this. He set it apart from all of the other days. It was a day of worship to God under the law of Moses. the day we worship on the first day of the week under the covenant with Christ. Now let's look at the text in Exodus chapter 13. Beginning in verse 3, Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. On this day, in the month of Abib, you are about to go forth. It shall be when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall observe this rite in this month. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days. Nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. You shall tell your son on that day, saying, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand, and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a powerful hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this ordinance at its appointed time, from year to year." So this is a yearly reminder of how God brought them out of Egypt. A reminder of the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn son, where this was first initiated. A reminder how God had passed over the homes of the Israelites who had obeyed his instructions with blood on the lintel and partaking of the specific meal in the way God described. God required that the Ark of the Covenant be plated with bronze. In Numbers 16, we read of how there was a rebellion against God and his chosen leader, Moses. It was led by Korah, but there were a few hundred other men involved, and 250 men offered incense to the Lord. In Numbers 16, in verse 38, it says, "As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered sheets for a plating of the altar, since they did present them before the Lord, and they are holy, and they shall be a sign to the sons of Israel." In verse 40 of this chapter, he says, "This is a reminder to the sons of Israel that no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, so that he will not become like Korah and his company." Now, at this point in history of the Israelites, the Ark of the Covenant was at times seen by the people. It stayed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, unseen by all but the high priest. But the Ark was carried in front of the army going into every battle. So there were times people would see the Ark of the Covenant, and this plating was a reminder to not rebel against God. The purpose of sacrifice under the law of Moses was to be a reminder. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "In those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year." In Numbers chapter 15 and in verse 38, God told Moses to speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you will remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God." Now, I've hit just a few of these quickly, but there are many more examples of how God did things for the memory of the Israelites, to cause them to remember. For the Christian, the Lord's Supper is for us to remember Christ, which we've just observed. We can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in the gospel accounts, that when Jesus initiated this memorial, he said, "Do this in memory of me." He wants us to remember this. Understanding that, we have it engraved on the tables. That this is what this is about. This is a memory that God wants us to have about the death of His Son. The sacrifice for us. The suffering. The purpose of His death. God wants us to bring this to our memory each and every week. Scripture has some other things to say about memory, though. We're supposed to remember deity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" Learning to serve God in our youth is important. Parents know this because we were all young once. You who are younger need to understand there will come a time in your life when you will have no delight in the things of God unless you have established a memory of the Creator in your heart. You need to know who God is. Know what God has done. You need to keep Him in your memory. This is the time in your life when you establish your own faith and your religious habits. It's only then, when the evil day comes, that you're going to be able to resist temptation and choose to serve God in righteousness. Now, in the days of your youth, this is the time to remember God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 8, Paul says to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Now, the broader context of this opening helps us to understand what he's telling us to remember here. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to be strong. And in verse 3, he tells him to suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, Paul says he had suffered hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. And yet he says in verse 10, "I endure all things." Finally, then in verse 11, he says, "If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." So, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. That's something we can all relate to. As he says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But in each his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. All of us are encouraged of our own resurrection from the dead by the reminder, or by remembering, Jesus was raised. Notice in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 2, remind them of these things. We're supposed to remember Christ rose from the dead. Now I'd like you to look with me for just a moment at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And we're going to read just a few verses here, beginning in verse 11. Psalm 77 and verse 11. Scripture says, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people. I think we can lift that entire phrase out of this psalm, which is about the old covenant, and say all of this is a person living in the new covenant. Remember God's deeds and wonders, all the miracles recorded in Scripture, from the crossing of the Red Sea to the taking of the Promised Land, to God declaring himself on Mount Carmel by consuming the altar and the water was licked up, saving Daniel from a lion's den, the miracles of the prophets, of the apostles, Jesus being born of a virgin. We do well to remember these things and see them again in our mind, to meditate on them, to muse on them. And we derive the same conclusion. What God is great like our God? You have by your power redeemed your people. It is God who has brought the plan of salvation, the scheme of redemption to mankind, and by his power he has caused us to be redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17 says, if you address the Father as Father, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during this time of stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We need to remember deity. God wants us to. One of the biggest things that we can read of in Scripture that God wants us to remember is the consequences of sin. There are many, many instances of this. Jesus simply says in Luke 17 to remember Lot's wife. She is an example of what not to do. She disobeyed while leaving Sodom, in that she looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Remembering the consequences of sin encourages us to be faithful. Now I'd like you to look at 2 Peter chapter 2 with me. I want to look at a few examples that are found in this text. 2 Peter chapter 2, and beginning in verse 4 through 6, we see three specific examples for our remembrance. In verse 4 of 2 Peter 2, it says, if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. If God's going to behave this way towards sinning angels, is he not also going to behave that way to sinning man? Sin has consequences, eternal consequences. In Matthew 25, Jesus said that those who were not obedient were going to be told to depart from me into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Eternal consequences. Now, in verse 5 of this chapter, he says, God did not spare the ancient world, but he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. His wrath is again seen against those who are wicked. You can see it in lots of places in Scripture. Here is the great flood, which is easily remembered, and we should remember it. If God's wrath brought such death upon the wicked, we must understand that he will treat us the same way if we are wicked. God has not changed. He does not change. His judgment is just and righteous. Consider just a few phrases quickly from the book of Romans, chapter 2, or Romans chapter 1, beginning, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now Romans 2, and verse 5. Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Romans 5 and verse 9, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. God did not spare the ancient world. He will not spare the sinner who does not repent. And our salvation from the wrath of God only comes through the blood of Christ. We are greatly helped to live in righteousness and not in sin, because of our knowledge and remembrance of God's wrath against sinners. And now 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. Have we learned from this example? God wants us to. God wants us to remember this. That's why it's been written down. Included in this text, included in this text in 2 Peter 2 are two examples of God's salvation, which we are to remember. In verse 5, God preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others. And in verse 7, God rescued righteous Lot. We're supposed to remember how God will save the righteous. So I read in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, that the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the flesh, in its corrupt desires, and despise authority. In the book of Jude, in verse 5, Scripture says, I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. The people who didn't believe were the Israelites, God's chosen people. When they refused to enter the promised land, rebelling against God, everyone over the age of 20 died in the wilderness over the next 40 years. Now, if you know your Bible, you know this story, and still we are reminded to learn from it. If we've obeyed the gospel, entering into covenant relation and fellowship with God, and then we rebel against Him, living in sin, the consequence of that sin is that God's going to destroy us just as He destroyed those Israelites. That's why we need to remember this. Finally, on this point, I would have you turn with me for just a moment to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 8. Isaiah 46 and beginning in verse 8. Chapter 46, verse 8 says, remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded, who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it is not far off, and my salvation will not delay, and I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel. This is a passage where God is speaking to Israel through the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, verse 3, and the remnant of the house of Israel. The people had been taken into the Babylonian captivity, where the remnant would come from. And they're told to remember who God is. Remember what He has done. Remember, I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. God keeps His promises. He promises destruction to the wicked and salvation to the righteous. We are accountable to God for our sin, and He wants us to remember the consequences of sin. The whole Babylonian captivity was a consequence of sin. My fourth point, memory stirs in us. Some things trigger a memory for us. The memory flashes rapidly through our mind, and we can see all of that memory all at once, and we remember the smells and the tastes and the sounds. Nowhere does that happen more frequently, I think, than a family reunion. You see the cousin you grew up with. You maybe haven't seen him in 20 or 30 years. And what starts happening, you both start remembering and stories start flying, right? Several years ago, a lady stopped me over here at the food fair on a Sunday, right after our morning assembly. I stepped into the store, and as I was coming out, she was standing next to my car. That's kind of weird. And she said, "Is this your car?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I just have to tell you, seeing your Bible on the dashboard reminded me of my grandfather." That was obviously an important memory for her. She waited for me to come back out. It triggered the memory. Listen to what Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13. He said, "I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder." I've likely stirred up some memories for you already today. But that's what Peter's doing in his writing. Even today, when we read his inspired letters, we are stirred up and that memory comes to the surface again. Again, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 1. "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, so that you should remember the word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by our apostles." Stirring you up by way of reminder. God wants us to remember things and to think them through again and again. Remember the words of the prophets. Remember the commandments of the Lord and Savior. Remember the things spoken by the apostles. This is in part the purpose of the holy written word, written instructions for us to know and remember and bring them back to our remembrance. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11 says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today." Well, how do we bring that back to our memories? We read them again. For the Christian in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, Christ said, "Remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." We remember when we are in fellowship with God, but now we are fallen. We recognize the consequence of our sin, and we are stirred in our memory to repent and obey God. It's good to always remember that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that the only reason I can be saved is because of the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 7 says, "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord." And for most people, I think we can all say that's been me. God wants us to remember. That's why the Lord's Supper has been established. It's why we partake every Sunday, to remember the Lord's death. We're to remember our Creator, His Son, and meditate on what they have done for us. God wants us to remember there's consequences for sin, that He is just, that there's no partiality, and that He's going to hold each and every individual responsible. God wants our memory to be stirred up, even this morning. That's one of the purposes of the written record. It's also one of the purposes of the preaching of the gospel. Do you remember your sin? Maybe the sin from yesterday, or last week, or last month? Do you remember your sin from years ago, perhaps from a time before you obeyed the gospel? Can you remember when you walked in righteousness and enjoyed the love and hope found in God? Maybe today you can remember from where you have fallen. You can recognize unrepented sin in your life. And remember this: God's wrath will come upon the sons of disobedience. I urge you to repent of your sin, to seek God's forgiveness, return to fellowship with God, begin living in righteousness from this moment forward. Don't ever forget that God loves you and He gave His Son to redeem you. He wants us all to repent. Maybe you can remember sin from the last few days or years ago, and you understand and now think, I need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember God's wonders, His deeds, His promises. You marvel at the goodness God has toward us, that He would even love us while we were yet sinners, which is why He sent Jesus, that we might be cleansed through His blood. God's done great things to benefit each one of us, but we have to be obedient to Him. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, I urge you to confess Him before this assembly. Repent of your sin, leaving your sin. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. And it is then in baptism that God forgives and redeems and justifies. It is then in baptism that we enter into fellowship with Him. It is then in baptism that we become the child of God. And I'll tell you, every Christian in this assembly can remember the day they were baptized. It's an unusual day, a unique event in our life. The most important, the most memorable. And today can be your best memory. Why don't you respond to the Lord? Come forward now. Let's stand and let's sing.